Hi and happy Friday. This is WSHU's After All Things with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. Connecticut's gubernatorial race is in full swing. New York will likely opt into a tax credit program expanding school choice. A Long Island teen makes history mastering Shinnecock language. Plus, meet a unique animal in Connecticut you probably didn't know was lurking beneath the surface. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garon. Ryan Fazio, the Republican candidate in this year's gubernatorial race in Connecticut, is promising voters property tax relief, tighter regulations of utilities, and higher registration fees for EVs. WSHU's Ebong Udama has more.
Answering questions on a candidates forum, Fazio says those are some of the steps he'd take to make the state more affordable.
On the cost front, we need to reform the property tax system and get property taxes under control. I've proposed a property tax cap paired with mandate relief to towns and cities.
He also proposed raising money to fix the state's depleted special transportation fund that currently depends on the gasoline tax by increasing the registration fees on electric vehicles.
They should be reasonable, but there should be a fair share that's paid by electric vehicles, especially because they're heavier and impose more wear and tear on the road.
And Fazio, who's currently a state senator from Greenwich, wants to bring down energy costs by removing public benefit charges and having stricter state oversight of utilities.
There needs to be oversight and a balance that has not been struck under the Lamont administration. And I think I've, you know, stood up to excesses from the utilities over the last 5.5 years, and I would do that as governor too.
Fazio appeared by himself on the forum organized by the Regional Plan Association. Governor Ned Lamont and his Democratic Party challenger, State Representative Josh Elliott of Hamden, had appeared separately on the forum last week. Ebong Udama, WSHU News.
New York Governor Kathy Hochul says the state will likely opt into a new federal tax credit program aimed at expanding school choice. But critics, including teachers unions and public school officials, say the program is a Trojan horse to fund private education with public dollars. The New York Public News Network's Samuel King reports they're pushing the governor to reconsider.
H.R. 1, or President Trump's One Big Beautiful Bill Act, provides for a $1,700 tax credit if someone donates to scholarship-granting organizations. The organizations would then give the money to eligible students for things like tutoring or even private school tuition. New York State United Teachers President Melinda Persson says that's a problem and wants the governor to join some other states led by Democrats in rejecting the program.
This is about protecting every child's right to a strong public school, and we've always had that commitment here in New York State. We think that public dollars belong in public schools.
James Coltrera with the New York State Catholic Conference says the program will help all parents, not just those in Catholic education.
They're the ones who bring children into this world. They're the ones who should have the resources and the ability to direct their children's education.
A spokesperson for Governor Hochul says they are awaiting final details on the program to ensure there isn't anything that would harm public education in New York. The state has until January 1st to formally opt in to the program. In Albany, I'm Samuel King for the New York Public News Network.
Connecticut has opened new affordable housing for veterans battling mental health and physical injuries. WSHU's Ava Keough has more.
Patriots Landing North will be able to house 14 individual veterans and 6 veteran families. This brings the total housing at the Veterans Affairs Campus in Rocky Hill to 170 individual veterans and 17 families. Veterans will be able to live in the housing for a year and are able to extend their stay for up to 2 years. The new accommodations are for veterans who need short-term stability and support. Governor Ned Lamont says he wants to focus on supporting those that work in the town and veterans who have serve their community.
I want more people to be able to afford their first unit of housing. And Time to Own program says the state will be there as your partner, help you with the mortgage subsidy, help you with that down payment.
Patriots Landing North is expected to accept residents in the next few weeks. Ava Keough, WSHU News.
This fish may be creepy, but scientists are happy to see it in Connecticut waters. That story is coming up.
This summer, Carnegie Hall comes to you. Carnegie Hall Live brings performances from one of the world's great stages to you, wherever you happen to be. Enjoy acclaimed orchestras, celebrated soloists, and live concerts from New York City without having to fight traffic. Listen Saturdays at 2 with an encore Thursday nights at 8. To see the full schedule, visit WSHU.org. Carnegie Hall Live, all summer long on WSHU.
A parasite found in food or water has infected at least 23 people in Connecticut and 400 in New York. Cyclosporigesis is not life-threatening, according to the CDC, but it can cause diarrhea, stomach cramps, or vomiting. Doctors say you can avoid it by thoroughly washing your hands and any fresh produce. On Long Island, the town of Hempstead is facing legal fees over $250,000. The pricey invoice stems from a federal lawsuit over the town denying a permit for a mosque. Newsday reports the case has now cost taxpayers almost $900,000. Connecticut state agencies are now required to submit reports when employees misuse their purchase cards. The special credit cards are limited to supplies and services for official government use only. The reporting requirement comes after it was discovered that former New Britain Mayor Erin Stewart used her card for personal expenses. A temporary ban on shell fishing in Three Mile Harbor in the Hamptons has been extended through all of next week. The State Department of Environmental Conservation closed the harbor to shell fishing on July 7th due to storm runoff. Now it'll stay closed due to potential contamination from the annual Clamshell Foundation fireworks show tomorrow. A Southampton student has been recognized with the New York State Seal of Biliteracy for learning the Shinnecock Algonquin language. WSHU's Janice Roman has more.
Southampton High School students can take two levels of Shinnecock Algonquin language courses. 18-year-old Cody Tarrant was awarded a Regents Diploma for demonstrating a high level of proficiency in both English and the Shinnecock language. Tarrant earned the recognition after completing coursework, presentations, and assessments in the language. He began learning as a child from his grandmother, who is a Shinnecock linguist and a member of the Shinnecock Tribal Nation. The school offers Indigenous classes and curriculum alongside the Shinnecock Nation. A third, more advanced level language course will be introduced in the fall. Janice Roman, WSHU News.
They're long, ancient, and one ecologist describes their mouth as a vortex of pain. But this parasitic fish is native to the Connecticut River, and scientists say they're good news for the ecosystem. The New England News Collaborative's Chris Polanski takes us to Roaring Brook on a search for the nests of the sea lamprey.
Kate Buckman wields a walking stick as she wades through this tributary of the Connecticut River in Glastonbury, Connecticut. She's an aquatic ecologist with the Connecticut River Conservancy, and today she leads a team of volunteers on a survey of sea lamprey nests.
So if you leave with one thing today, I hope it's a better appreciation for lamprey and their role in what they do in their environment.
The long eel-like fish starts its life cycle in freshwater in places like this brook. It then moves out to the ocean where its jawless mouth, rimmed with teeth, attaches to larger fish to drain them of blood and other fluids.
A lot of people are freaked out by lamprey because of their mouths, right? They have this huge whorl of teeth. It looks like, I don't know, a vortex of pain. And in their adult phase, they are parasitic, and so they have a bad reputation.
But Buckman says volunteers don't have to worry about that today, with the lamprey returning to fresh water to build nests, spawn, and die.
When they are on their spawning runs, they are not feeding. So you do not have to worry about being parasitized by an adult lamprey when they're on their spawning run. That's not what they're doing in the freshwater.
Volunteers look for piles of rocks that the lamprey stack to build nests. Buckman stops to examine one possible specimen.
I actually suspect what this is potentially an older fall fish nest. Fall fish are a minnow-like species. They get kind of big, but they actually build like pyramid-type piles of pebbles to nest in. So good eye, looking for the right thing.
Buckman says lamprey play a big role in the watershed's ecosystem in several ways.
And the cool thing about lamprey with their nest building is that sort of movement of cobble and rocks mm-hmm. and all sorts of stuff in the substrate actually ends up creating habitat for other things too, like macroinvertebrates, which are at the bottom of the food chain for a lot of things. People sort of discount the importance of insects mm-hmm. And insect larvae.
The lamprey also provide nutrients to the ecosystem when they die. They're consumed by birds of prey, small organisms that eat decaying animals.
Anything that needs a little snack.
Ultimately, though, this outing yields no lamprey or lamprey nests. Buckman says zero is still an important data point to compare against previous years.
If we are seeing a year like this, where there's zero nests in a spot where we have seen them previously, that sort of clue towards looking for what might be driving these population level differences of who's returning to the river.
Lots of factors could be at play for lower lamprey numbers, Buckman says. Last year was hot and rivers ran low, potentially complicating migration. But the bottom line is lampreys belong here.
They are native to the Connecticut River watershed. We want them here. They're ecosystem engineers.
And Buckman says they're cool.
I actually really love getting people out here to walk in a stream and look for nests and learn something about lampreys, which I think we're sort of moving the needle on that, but they're generally an underappreciated fish.
Buckman hopes upcoming river surveys in Massachusetts and New Hampshire yield more lamprey and more nests. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Chris Polanski.
This is WSHU's Bird Song Break. This week, the tiny but mighty piping plover. These little beach birds call our region home for the summer, and they're endangered, so be mindful of fenced-off nesting areas and watch your step. Eggs are laid in shallow depressions in the sand. Take a breath, listen, and let nature remind you to slow down. This has been WSHU's Bird Song Break, featuring the piping plover. Special thanks to the Cornell Lab of Ornithology, and visit WSHU.org for more. For the latest from around Long Island Sound, listen on the radio, stream online with our free app, and of course, tune in here to the After All Things podcast every weekday evening. Here at WSHU, community has always been at the heart of what we do. The stories you hear, the conversations we share, the music that fills your day, it happens because of listeners like you. Now you can show your support in a more personalized way with fresh gear from the WSHU online shop. The best part is all purchases give back to the station. Visit WSHU.org and click on shop. I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a great rest of your Friday and a wonderful weekend. I'll speak to you again on Monday.